Welcome to the podcast. My name is Danny Cola. If this is your first time listening, make sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you can join me in having some epic conversations that access higher levels of potential with creatives and professionals from all around the globe. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's guest is Ryan Sprigg. Ryan is the founder and co-owner of Highly Optimized, a company dedicated to helping clients transform and become the conscious leaders the world is patiently awaiting. He's also the host of Highly Optimized, and he also has another podcast called This One Time on Psychedelics that I highly recommend. It's super interesting, very entertaining podcast. He also is the co-creator of the Connect with Cannabis program, and this is really interesting because he gives you a real-life guide on how to interact, interpret, and integrate cannabis in a proactive manner in your life without abuse, without overuse. And it's very interesting because if you're somebody out there that has been dabbling with cannabis for a regular period and you don't know if it helps you or hinders you, a lot of times we just get wrapped up in this habitual nature of smoking in the morning and in the middle of the day, in the evening, and maybe we're not using it to its utmost ability. It's a very powerful plant. It can give you a tremendous amount of insight about yourself, how you co-create with the world, and if it's not used responsibly, you're not using it to your advantage, really. You're just kind of getting sucked into habitual nature and potential addiction. I always have a really fun time chatting with Ryan. He's a really genuine guy. He's super smart, and you can tell that he takes a lot of time thinking about health and wellness and that he takes care of his own body and mind. He's really passionate about his business and ultimately helping people in the world, and I really resonate with that. So with that being said, if you like what you hear today, make sure to check out Ryan Sprigg at his website, which is www.highlyoptimized.me. This is where you could find links to his Connect with Cannabis program and his two podcasts, his first one being Highly Optimized and his second one being This One Time on Psychedelics. And these podcasts are available on all streaming platforms. You can also find Ryan on Instagram at The Real Ryan Sprigg. Enjoy the podcast.
So excited to be here with you, Danny. You know, it's funny, man, because we were talking about how, like, you know, luckily we train all the time. We happen to love the hobby of training, right? But yeah, it comes real handy when you got to do stuff like move.
Dude, 110%. Like, you forget how much offloaded shit, how much you're like twisting and turning from low to high, high to low. And like, you know, it's just, you got to get things done and you got stuff. I also like really had to take a look at like what all the shit I have and like, do I need it around?
Yeah. You
know, like, is this dead weight? Like, why am I holding on to this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it forces you to just get rid of shit that doesn't matter. Everything, all those like weird attachments. Like, I get rid of clothes all the time and I'm like, do I want to keep this? Do I not? No, but it's just from this time. Who gives a fuck? It's like you outgrown it, it's done. Get rid of it. And it feels good. It's like this alleviating feeling, right?
100%, dude. It creates space, you know, like literally physical space, but also it creates emotional, mental, and spiritual space too from new things to be born into. Because, you know, again, it's like we can have like a whole metaphor happening here around like if you have stuff cluttering all your physical space, it's a representation of your inner world, you know? And so not only does it feel great to let go of that stuff, but it also feels nice to know, oh, well, I guess my mental and emotional state is doing pretty well as well, you know? So that's
100%. So you were just talking about how you moved on New Year's Eve. Right. Yes. So you move into a new house, new beginning, new year. That must feel really fresh. Talk to me about some of that emotion.
Yeah, dude. It was amazing, man. I mean, I was at my old place for quite a while and, you know, it was just time, you know, like we both knew it was time to get a new place. And, you know, it's challenging being in Boston. Like there's, you know, rent prices are really high. I just saw this real estate person that I know saying that, oh, Boston is now the second most expensive, only second to New York. And so, you know, a typical one bedroom apartment around Boston is $3,100. So it's Jesus, pretty fucking expensive, dude. It's insane. It's stupid. I mean, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, yeah, Boston's got cool stuff, but we still have a fucking crazy winter. You know, it's like, how are we beating out San Diego? How the fuck does that make sense?
Wow. Yeah, no, Chicago too. It's cold as shit. It's been snowing. I used the snowblower yesterday for the first time this year. So like it's time. We're in the middle of it. It's hard because we don't see a lot of the sun and that takes a toll. Oh. You know, like energetically, I feel like it takes a little while for me to kind of get going. Even like I do the work that I do, like I'm training all the time. I'm doing the sauna regularly. I'm in the cold regularly. I'm fasting. And it's still like you feel, I'm way more sensitive to not feeling sunlight for an extended period of time. It's crazy.
100%. Like this part of the year for people who live in cold climates is like the same feeling that when you eat 5 grams of mushrooms and you're like, oh, this isn't too much. And then you realize it was too much. Like exact feeling right now where it's like, oh, this is non-consensual. When does this end? Oh,
yeah,
like
exactly.
10 weeks.
Dude, 100%. Like it's just, we're in the thick of it now and it's just, we got to keep on trucking and just, I think it's more of a, like one of those meditative things just to kind of bring it back to center and like, what's the task at hand? You know, it's temporary. This too shall pass. And those type of practices really come into handy during a, you know, East Coast or Midwest winter for sure. Right.
100%. And it's funny, like, it's not even the cold that I mind, because I do cold exposure, all this stuff. It's the lack of sun. And it's also like, you know, I don't know about you guys, you said you just got snow, but like Boston, it's been raining or snowing every day for what feels like a month or more now. And, you know, it's not like, I enjoy the rain. I enjoy the snow. I honestly don't mind them. But it's the lack of ability to go outside and for long periods of time. And also, like, I'm a very outdoorsy type person. And like, let's just face it, right? Like there's a certain energy to like spring and summer, right? Like you can be the one person out there with your shirt off in the winter being like, you know, the dude, right? The Wim Hof, but it's not the same, right? Like it's a very quiet season. And honestly, like it is a great amount of time to go within, but at the same time, like, you know, I like to be moving. I like to be doing a lot of stuff. I'm a very, like, I'm a mental projector in human design. So I like talking a lot, you know, and there's just like, it's not really the season for that, which is okay. Right. Cause again, like, you know, if we can't enjoy winter, we can't really fully enjoy summer. Right. So it is the ultimate surrender experience and saying, hey, I can't control this. I mean, I could take a flight down to Key West if I want or whatever, but you know, being able to sit in the uncomfortable feeling really trains you for life. So I enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, dude. Well said. Another thing I think about moving is that when you're kind of in that transition phase and you have like a couple days of moving stuff from your old house to your new house, doing the closing, when I'm in transition, I felt like I didn't have as much grounding. So like until I really got into a rhythm. So like when I was at work and doing my, you know, working with my clients and doing my sessions and trying to organize and get creative, I felt like it was harder because I had like an unstable surface. I didn't out of my element. Although in the end it sharpens me and it's like, I can do this shit. I can do this. I can rebuild it. I can get it back to a strong knit foundation where I can keep thriving. It still like humbled me and it was like, all right, yeah, this is harder than you think. And how important is it to really have a strong foundation underneath you, whether that's your house, you're rooted in your house, a strong foundation relationship, whether it's a business that's corresponding with the same inner message, right? Like how important is it to have that foundation and how do you feel about it as you're in transition now?
Yeah. I mean, the foundation is just that, it's the foundation, right? And with anything you're looking to build, you could build the most gangster skyscraper ever, but if it's on a shaky foundation, no amount of, you know, looks or quantitative measures is going to make that skyscraper actually be successful. And so I think that, you know, for me, foundation is everything. And it really comes down to me of like my routines and my ritual practices, because even when things are chaotic, I can rely on those practices to center me in and make sure that I'm coming from my heart and not necessarily my mind. Not that the mind's a bad thing, but, you know, if you look at like the heart is feminine and the mind is masculine, let's just like use that kind of analogy for a second. If we look at that, well, in reality, for me, the heart has to come before the mind, because the mind is littered with subconscious programming, patterns, and things that, although I've worked through a lot of it, I don't think I'll ever be fully done with it. Maybe, who knows, right? But at the end of the day, if I let my mind, if I wake up and immediately go on my phone and start looking at my to-do lists, well, now my mind is in control. And so I'm going to be immediately putting attention where I don't want energy to flow. And as we know, where attention goes, energy does flow. So if I allow myself, even if I'm moving and things are chaotic, or if I'm traveling or any of that, to wake up, stick to my ritual practices, meditate, do my mystery school rituals, do some breath work, you know, get out in the sun, and then allow myself to go through an exercise routine and then hit some cold exposure after, I know that, yeah, the day still might be challenging, but it's not going to be a wreck. And so the foundation literally allows me to come with my natural energy every single day And, you know, and at the end of the day, like, it might not be the like a 10 of a 10 every day, right? But at the same time, it's not going to be a one. And I think that's really important, sure. Especially when you're, when you have clients and people that depend on you and, yeah. you know, again, relationships and all these kind of things. Like, I think it is a very masculine quality to make sure that you're filling your cup first before you go out into the world and try to pour from an empty cup otherwise.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well said. You hit so many like points. I was like, hell yeah, you know. Yeah, you're really eloquent, man. It spends like it sounds like you spend a lot of time in thought, and it's also sounds like you spend a lot of time mirroring those thoughts on paper and like doing that self-reflection piece, because it's, I mean, it's just so important to I think health, longevity, untangling some of the stuff that goes on in the mind, the masculine. So do you have like a regular process, a writing process where you're putting thoughts out on paper, reflecting back at you? Because I think this practice is super effective because you're priming your brain to see the mirror in everything now. If you can, if yes. you can like mirror yourself on paper and you can read it back, reflect it to yourself and do all that, that shadow work, really, that's what it is. You're priming your brain to see how like those hermetic principles play out in reality, the patterns in reality. So what are your thoughts on that, and to share with everybody your practice?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I'll be completely honest, like journaling and writing to me, like they never came as easy as speaking to me. Like for instance, like if I get a idea or a download, I'm not going to write it down. I'm going to go on to Otter. I'm going to like speak it into there and then have it transcribe it. But here's what I have.
That's a good habit.
Yeah, it's a great habit. But what I have noticed too, is that like writing in a lot of sense, what I did find in it was that it does slow the thought process down. And a lot of times, especially when I've had a very busy day, I don't really notice it. But like when I actually center in and meditate or anything, I can notice like, wow, my thoughts are going really fucking fast. And very similar to how if clouds are really abundant in your atmosphere, there's no room for the sun to come through. And that sun is like ideas, downloads, insights, curiosities, you know, fascinations, things like that. So when I'm writing things down, it actually allows me to like slow down my thoughts because I can only write so fast. And then a lot of times I'll be writing something, all of a sudden, boom, there's just enough space for that idea to come through. And what I've been doing a lot recently, and I'm sure we'll get into a lot of cannabis stuff, but you know, I've been noticing the differences because a lot of what I use cannabis for and what I connect with it for at this point in my life is to notice what I'm not currently able to access in my sober state of reality. Because I know that whatever cannabis shows me is completely able to be accessed in a sober state of reality. And that's a lot of what I teach. So now what I do is I notice my writing styles, like say when I'm in a completely sober state of mind versus when I'm in an altered state of mind. And I start to notice differences. Like I almost do my own little case studies of that. And what I've noticed is that free writing and creativity come out a lot more with cannabis than in my sober state of reality. Now, one could say that's pretty obvious because when you're in your typical waking state, you're in a beta brainwave. You're probably got a little bit of an upregulated sympathetic response because you're getting your day going. When you're on cannabis, on the other hand, you're sitting with a plant, you're actually getting into alpha and even a little bit theta waves as well. And although cannabis does produce a sympathetic nervous system response on onset, it does bring you into downregulation. And so, of course, if I have more space and I have more like, you know, relaxation in my life, of course, the creativity is going to come out. So it then shows me, oh, I really like that. And now there's something that I've got a idea on that like I would like to integrate into my day-to-day reality. So what I've been doing is waking up an hour early. So now I have ample time where there's not a time limit per se on how much I can write. And I've noticed that that allows me to get more into my creativity and write a very similar way than when I'm on cannabis. And so very interesting stuff, man. But I'm constantly like just getting curious about like, hey, what happens if I do this? How does my writing style or my speaking style or my performance change? And then I'm constantly going back to the drawing board. And I think that's like really why I started Highly Optimized as a whole, because I'm constantly fascinated with how I can make my physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being on point and be highly optimized.
Dude, again, like just throw you the low pitch softball, the underhand softball, and then just throw it out of the park. Hit it out of the park. Jesus Christ. That's amazing.
Dude, it's natural between us, dude. You know, yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's cool. I resonate with your message. I think, you know, the last time we talked, you really fucking sparked me. Okay.
Dude.
And I was thinking about this a lot because it's like somebody that's out there living their truest nature. It's contagious, you know? And I'm out there doing what I think right now is in my truest nature. Like I'm trying to use my, you know, God gives abilities to present to the world and to make an impact, whatever that is, whatever that even means. And it feels a certain way, but then when you interact with somebody else who's really doing that, it was like fire connects to fire, and then like boom, ideas, and it's like, okay, you gave me so much insight and light that it just kind of cleared up some things that was foggy at the time. And oh, cool. I kicked it into another gear, another depth, because of our conversation when we spoke last. And I really appreciate that. Since then, I got my podcast going up again, like pretty quickly, and just really consistently. And just, I've been thinking about that a lot in the last year during the whole move and my wife being pregnant and all that. And it just was like, all right, the foundation's it's under me now. Now's the time, gotta fucking go. And I just kind of figured it out, and I'm still always trying to figure it out. But yeah, dude, like you really, really impacted me. So I want to go back to the whole writing thing real quickly. So setting up today for this podcast, I didn't do any cannabis for 3 days, the 3-day rule, right?
Beautiful.
And it was good. I didn't feel like pulled to it really. Sometimes I did, but I'm like, nah, it's okay. Just chill. Mm-hmm. The podcast is coming up. Do it right before the podcast, see what happens. And just like, without failure, it is such a wonderful like highlighting of patterns that feel coherent. And I realized that's also coming through my lens, which is another factor to like the information that kind of pours through. But yeah, dude, like I did it like an hour ago. I hit a joint. I bought it from the dispensary here. A sativa blend of cannabis, and it just like it stimulates me. I had a day where I interacted with a lot of people, and it's cool. But now I was sitting in my garage, and I came into my house, and then I started writing things down, and it's wonderful because things get highlighted in a nice, clear way. And the writing piece came up to me, and I was thinking about like, okay, well, how much am I actually writing? How effective is it? But this idea of mirroring yourself really resonated in that moment. And it was just like a freshness to my thoughts, but at the same time, like, that needs to be built like a skill in order to like take that bandwidth of information that's coming through at rapid speeds. So talk to me about how we can actually wrestle with this, because it's difficult. And yes, it's coming through my lens, and I'm experienced, and I practice this stuff, and I take breaks, and I, have a lot of cannabis, and I love like just the mini psychedelic adventure it takes me on physically and mentally, emotionally. But yeah, talk to me about how like you can actually learn to wrestle with this and not let these, let's say, incoherent feelings guide you, the overwhelmingness, the anxiety, the paranoia, because that could really overwhelm something. And if so, like what other messages are coming through the paranoia, the anxiety, and how important is it to listen to it if you're ready?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. I think within the cannabis space, what I choose to believe, now again, I can't show anyone a quantitative, double blind research study that shows this, but what I choose to believe is that everything is there to help you. And that's like one of my pretty much rules for life. And why do I believe that? Because if I believe the opposite, that things just happen and they're by chance and there's no connection to anything, it's just not a fun way to live. And so that's why I choose to believe that. So if we lead that over into the cannabis experience, yes, cannabis is going to open up the ability to show you a lot of stuff, right? The way that I kind of see it, it's almost the clouds part, right? Or rather, what's a good analogy for this? It's almost like, you're on a boat that does not have the ability to be led by you. And so you're kind of getting taken by the waves. But if you freak out, right, and you start going, oh my goodness, the boat's taking on water, any of this stuff, it can be really challenging to get through. But if you just focus on the task ahead, like, okay, some water came in, I'm going to take that out. Oh my goodness, look at the sky, right? And you're able to go around like that, it can get a lot easier. And so for me, when anyone interacts with cannabis, there's going to be a lot of information that comes to you. And this is why intention is so important, because again, there's so many side quests one could go on, right? So if someone doesn't even know why they're interacting with cannabis, then they're going to interact with the plant and they're going to have the experience happen to them, right? Because they have no idea why they're even there. And again, it's not a judgment. It's just like, I think a lot of people fail to recognize this. And this happens with everything, right? It happens with water, with food, with everything. But it's much less easy to feel the effect of a lack of intention on food than it is with cannabis, right? And so because again, it's a psychedelic, right? So you're opening yourself up to a deeper sense of sensory awareness. connection of the five senses, the spiritual senses, the psychic senses, all of these ways to connect and relate to your reality. And so when you're going through that, some of the challenges that, let's say that you have an intention to be happier after that joint, right? And then you start to get brought on the side quest of anxiety or depression or paranoia or any of these quote unquote undesirable states. Well, if you understand your main quest was to discover how to be happier, then you can relate and contextualize this anxiety, paranoia, et cetera, as happening for you. And maybe the thing standing directly in the way from you being able to access your happiness in a sober state of reality. But the challenge is, if you don't know why you're going there and you don't know what your main quest is, then the side quests are all going to happen to you and you're going to come out of it like, oh, cannabis makes me this way or makes me that way. And you're going to fail to recognize one of the biggest lessons plant medicines as a whole have to teach us, which is that we're much more powerful than we think we are and that we've been told we are. And so when we practice intention and things like that, the cool thing is that, you know, on average, I think I saw a stat that said, I think it was above 18 people or no, 18 and under have an intention span of like 0.8 seconds on average right now. And so if you think about like, if I'm trying to convince someone to put intention on their food, right? Like they're like, okay, I put my hands here and I picture light going into it and something happens. I'm like, yeah. And so they do it and they're like, it tasted the same. I don't really know what changed, right? Now we have them set an intention with a psychedelic, something that's going to really heighten the ability of that attention to be felt. Now they have the direct experience of saying, oh, okay, that actually really did work. Now, when I say put it on food, they're going to go, okay, I might not be able to feel it, but I know something's happening. And so this ability to have the main quest allows the side quests to at least have an option to be taken or not taken. And if they are taken, you're able to see it in the grand scheme of your main quest. And I think that's like how, for me, I kind of utilize all the energy that comes along with cannabis. Because the other thing too is like, you know, I think for a lot of people, they don't really have self-awareness before connecting with any plant medicine. And so what happens is, let's say the average person, they've had 3 or 4 cups of coffee. Maybe they had a stressful ride to work. They had to work next to a coworker that they just don't like. You know, their partner hit them up saying, hey, you forgot to get me this. They're like, darn it, I feel like a failure. Whatever happens, right? Then they take a stressful drive home. They get home. Kids are there. They want to see them. They're super excited to see their kids, but they notice like, oh, I'm just like, I need to chill out. So they go smoke a joint, right? Now this person who already had a lot of information in their reality from an upregulated nervous system, maybe a job they don't like, stress, et cetera. Now they just bombarded themselves with more information. And I think this is the challenge that I see with a lot of cannabis, you know, enthusiasts across large is that, you know, they don't really have that awareness to realize like, hey, maybe right now I actually need to do some down regulatory breath work, get in some cold exposure, and then maybe I can go to cannabis. But again, it does bring a lot of information. So I'm glad you brought that up. And that's how I balance it. You know, my first step, even before intention, is checking in and saying like, how do I feel right now in my nervous system? How do I feel in terms of my thought patterns? Like where am I in the world right now? And then from there, I can either choose and discern that, yes, I do have the energy and space to do this. Okay, cool. Set an intention, go into it. Or on the other hand, I can say, hey, I actually need to take a step back, go do some of my practices, and then see if I'm able to do it then. And sometimes I'm not, right? And then I don't interact with cannabis because I know that it's just going to give me too much to handle and I won't be able to integrate it. And so that's how I deal with that challenge when it arises.
That's amazing. You can almost use that, what do you call it? That framework of the way you use cannabis for anything in life. Just insert said behavior there. Yeah. Like you're talking about having the self-awareness on where I'm currently presently at, my state, my mental, emotional, my physical, what has gone through me in terms of information from food, information from blue light, Wi-Fi, information from, you know, media and so on. What's my intention? What am I looking to achieve going through this experience, whatever that is? And like, I think that's a very interesting blueprint you got right there, because if we do that, then we're consciously creating things.
Yeah.
As opposed to being just unconsciously going through the flow. And
yeah,
that's dangerous ultimately when it comes to long-term health and wellness, because then we're ignoring signs that are red flags. We're ignoring incoherent patterns within our body, our relationships, our business, or whatever. And when we let that go for too long, then something very like abrupt happens, like cancer or disease, an accident, or, you know, this is why I think about things not being random sometimes. It's just not being perceived by the person going through the experience or said people going through the experience. So it's very interesting the way your blueprint is towards something so powerful like this.
Yeah.
You know, it can, I feel like it can be taken towards anything. But again, when it comes to long-term health and wellness, again, self-awareness and intention with your behaviors are super important. And then especially learning about the nervous system and how stress and trauma are really driving factors of everyone's emotional motives behind their behaviors, right?
Absolutely.
And then you're talking about cold plunge, you're talking about exercise, you're talking about getting good sleep, mineralizing, you know, doing that breath work that down regulates the nervous system and gets you in this equilibrium state. Why are we trying to do that? I want to hear your explanation on like why that's so damn important.
Yeah. You know, this is amazing. Because these are the questions I don't get asked enough when I come on shows. And, you know, this is the stuff I love to dive into. And one thing I wanted to say real quick too, is what does intention really do on like a more, I don't know, spiritual level, or maybe even physical, some might argue on any level, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual.
Pause you real quick right there.
Yeah.
So we have an intention. What are we doing with that intention? Are we saying it out loud? Are we writing it? Are we just constantly thinking it? Let's get it out of our head onto paper, maybe speaking it out into the existence, right? Like, what is my intention? I even do this with my meditations. I was like, I say, great spirit, show me in which way that you're the purest form of you coming through me in this physical third dimension, mm-hmm. in the highest level of potential possible. Show me your truest expression, some version of that. And then I just shut up. I listen to where I'm going. And then it's like, download, interesting. And then just like lovey-dovey good feels, right? Or things that make me go, interesting. So like, what is that intention? How do we do it? What are we saying it? Are we writing it? What's the best way, Ryan?
Yeah, I love this, man. So, you know, really what I think intention does on a more like, you know, again, spiritual, but someone could argue any level, is it trains us to actually think in terms of what we do want, right? Because think about it this way, right? Like, you know, I know before I got into this work, I could tell a whole list of what I didn't want to be, what I don't like to eat, what I don't like to do in my day. But when someone asked me, I remember when Mark England first asked me, like, what do you want? It was kind of like, oh, he stumped me, right? And I think this is a common trend around a lot of people, at least a lot of the people I work with, where, you know, they have this whole laundry list of things they know they don't want. And it's the classic example of like, you know, we joke about, you know, women when it comes to what they do, what they want to eat. It's like, well, I don't want this, I don't want that. It's like, what do you want? I don't know, right? But I think men do that too, 100%. You know, and me and Rachel joke about that all the time. And, you know, I think that, you know, how I do intention, and again, my way is not the right way, it's just a way, right? It's the way that I found I really like it, is I like to speak it, because abracadabra, with my word I create, right? So I'm spell casting to the universe, right? And I do this very intentionally, every day, twice a day with my mystery school rituals. So I'm very used to putting things into either the Galactic Federation or Father Sky, Mother Earth, right? Praying to different entities to be able to manifest what I'm looking for, right? And so when it comes to cannabis, you know, I'll always like exactly how I'll do it. I use the volcano all of the time. I never, ever use anything else. Not again, because it's the right way. It's just, I just love the bags personally. It is healthier, yada, yada, all this stuff. But I don't want to get on a soapbox about why people should vape. But here's what I do. So I first take first of all, when I'm grinding it up, like, this is cannabis I've grown. I put my energy into, my love into. I take all my different jars and I smell, because the nose knows, right? So I smell which one resonates with me the most, right? So I have like four or five different strains that I've been working with for a good amount of time now. So I know them really well, because each strain of cannabis and even every phenotype has its own unique personality, right? So there's like, there's different, you know, again, sides of cannabis like to hang out with at different times, right? So again, self-awareness will show me kind of like what my mind is thinking I want, but then I allow the nose to kind of guide me, right? So let's say I pick my strain. I'm going to interact with, say, Cushman's. So then from there, I grind it up. And now when I open the grinder, I take another sniff. And what I'm doing is I'm priming the olfactory system for the experience. It's almost like before you work out, you want to activate your muscles, because your body goes, oh, I guess Danny's about to do something. He's doing that thing he does right before he rips a lot of weight around, right? So let's get prepared for that. So again, this is like the synonym for, or like the synonymization of like activating your muscles. So exactly. Yeah. So once I prime the olfactory system, I blow my bag. Once the bag's done, I hold it in my hand and I speak the intention directly into it. And I say, cannabis, please show me, help me, and teach me directly into my heart. I'm looking to experience laughter. I'm looking to experience joy. Please illuminate anything that will help me get there. And then what I do is I touch it to my heart. I touch it to my third eye, and then I touch it back to my heart because I want to finish the loop. No open loops, right? So I want to say from heart to mind, back to heart, right? Instead of saying heart to mind, and some people do that. And it's just what resonates with you. But for me, I was like, well, I want my heart to lead. I want my mind to, you know, invoke my heart, right? Like what ideas are going to help my heart. And then I want to come back to the heart at the end. And then from there I intake it and then I go on the journey. And it's amazing, man. So that's how I do it personally. Again, everyone's methods are a little different, but that's the one I found that's really beneficial for me.
Let me ask you this. You know, what's the difference between what you just said, setting an intention like that, and prayer?
Okay. Right? So yeah, this is a really good question because a lot of times people get ritual practice, prayer, and intention confused. And they're similar, right? They're same, but different. So for me, like, let's use cannabis as the example. Let's say cannabis is a deity that I'm going to either do a ritual practice for, I'm going to set an intention for, or I'm going to pray for. I'll break down how these scenarios are different, right? So ritual practice is I'm actually going through a ritual practice, right? I'm going through like a series of, you know, different, again, rituals that are meant and designed to allow my attention to focus on a specific thing, right? So then intention, on the other hand, is maybe not a ritual practice in the sense that it changes every time. Like, yes, setting an intention stays the same, but the actual intention I make differs, right? Whereas ritual practice, I'm saying the same things every single time. And then prayer is almost in a way like a combination of the two, right? Because it is a ritual, right? But it does change every time, like intention does. Yeah. But the difference for me anyway is that with prayer, I'm praying directly to a deity, right? And I'm like, usually doing it for about 10 or 20 minutes. I'm asking for guidance in very specific things. Whereas with cannabis, I might do that for setting an intention. So one could say an intention is a prayer, but for me, like praying is a more like, you know, first of all, I'm not interacting with a medicine normally when I'm praying. Second of all, I'm doing like a 20-minute type prayer where I'm saying like, you know, God, higher power, source, please, you know, help me illuminate what's going to be best for me today. Please allow me to see whatever emotions are currently blocking me. Like I'm saying a lot of different things, right? Where intention to me is one specific thing. That's okay. Just my way of interpreting. But yeah,
that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Okay. Yeah. Because then, you can get really direct and have a specific, just real, like narrow, not narrow view, but like a specific, like real specific in detail about, you know, the things that you're looking to connect with when it comes to things in the, like, I don't know, I don't want to go too crazy, but like other dimensions, experiencing higher levels of vibration that we can't necessarily connect with without really having a specific intention and doing the ritual and doing it the same way in the same time with the same words. Like there definitely is something to that. And, you know, I'm seeing it in my life. And it's just, you know, interesting to talk about the difference between the words, because a lot of times we're just talking about the same things, but using different words to talk about them. And like, you know, there's so many similarities between organized religion and the spiritual journey. It's like we're searching for God. But what does that even mean? You know, I heard this thing about Joe Rogan and Naval Ravikant talking about this same thing, but they're like, it's this trite idea because you're constantly just going in this loop, you know, A equals B and B goes back to A. And it's like this trite thing. But at the same time, every single human is subconsciously asking why is it that we're incarnated in this human body? And what are we doing here? What's the purpose of all these things? I feel like that's the root of a lot of disease, because people have this thing that's unanswered and it's constantly brewing in them. And they're trying to make sense of the world, but without doing the rituals, the intentions, the prayers, the elevated intention with the elevated emotion, speaking out your truth into the world, your reality then never really forms to a coherent standard. And then we do all the nervous system upregulating, downregulating so that we can, you know, use that as a tuning fork to connect to these higher levels of reality, right? They exist. We just, you know, we can't necessarily see them, but they exist. It's like higher octaves in music, all sorts. And it's like the more combination of chords are richer and they sound, you know, more coherent. And then the patterns, they move together. And it's just like, oh yeah, I like this. Like, you know, you listen to a song that you haven't heard in a while and it's just like instantaneously lights up in you, you know, if you're fucking human, like this is legit stuff. And even if you ask a musician, it's like, a lot, so many musicians are like, dude, it's not me playing, it's something else that comes through me. I'm just the conduit. I'm just the whatever, just the
channel.
The channel, exactly. Just, it's going through me. I can't explain it. You know, you listen to your people who write, it's just like they're dictating this information from someplace else. They're just so in flow zone. And I really think deliberately practicing these things, understanding how your nervous system works, you can really have a deeper understanding of how reality works and get information on deeper questions like, what is God and how does that come back to our individuality? Right.
Absolutely. Dude, I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, I think for a lot of people, we've been trained, especially in Western societies, to use the left brain and the brain in general to try to solve these like really deep esoteric questions. Right. So like the idea of what is my purpose? Well, most people think, and I was one of these people, so I can talk from experience, like most people think that if I learn enough stuff and I go to the right college and I do all these things in the external world, then I'll figure out my purposes. I'll figure out why I'm here. I'll figure out what the nature of reality is and all this stuff. They might not even think in those terms. They might just figure out like, I'll be happy, right? That might be what they think. But at the end of the day, knowing and realizing are very different. And I've never heard anyone else talk about these specific two words in this way, but I imagine people have talked about this concept before where like, we've been trained that if like, If you want to get good grades, what you pretty much have to do is cram and regurgitate, right? So if you're going to learn about sociology and you have a test, you're going to read the information, you're maybe going to make flashcards, you're going to be able to recite it, but you don't really know the experience of being a social worker just because you took a sociology course and passed the test, right? Like those things are different. You might know what to do in a situation based off of what you learned in that class, but until you're in that situation, you really don't know what that experience is. And I think the big challenge is that people are expecting to know the answers to questions like what is God from reading from a book. And there's a great quote that Paul Check says a lot, which is, you know, if you need scripture, you're not enlightened. And if you're enlightened, you don't need scripture because you're connected to something deeper. Right. And so I think a lot of the time, and I'm not dissing anyone who goes to church or anything like that. It's just like something that I've noticed amongst a lot of people that are religious in my life, right? Like they're dedicated to like having to go to this certain service and do this thing where I'm like, God's all around us. Like we don't need to go to a certain place. Like it's beautiful to have a certain time where you're going as a ritual practice with your friends. But, you know, I think a lot of times people get stuck into this structure of like, oh, I need to go to this place and then I have access to God, but I don't really do, the priest does, and I need this third party. And it's like, I think like, you know, this goes back thousands. Yeah. It's so confusing. And it goes back, thousands of years, but I think here's the thing, right? So like, for instance, what I choose to believe is that everything is God. I am God. You are God. We are all Godza, right? Or Godza, or as the mystery school calls it, Elohim in training, right? And I won't get into the whole thing unless you want me to get into their creation story.
You're a fucking wizard, bro. Get your witchcraft out of here. No, I'm
just kidding. Dude, I hit a lot of buttons, you know? Like I'm just curious, right? Like it's part of my human design that I've looked into. And I'm just fascinated by knowing that I'll never know, right? Like knowing that like, because again, when you really think about it, do you like, if I could wave a magic wand and go, Danny, I'll tell you exactly why we're here, exactly what your purpose is, exactly what everything is right now. Would you say yes to that?
Fuck. I mean, yes.
Well, think about it, right? So like, here's why I would say no, right? Now, again, a lot of life is the mystery, right? And so like, yeah. I take this example, right? If Christmas was coming up and let's say you're 10 years old, right? And you happen to open a closet looking for a vacuum cleaner and all of a sudden gifts are right there, right? Would you choose to look at them, right?
Yeah, absolutely not. Because you don't want, yeah, I got it.
So that's the analogy I use for this. Because for me, I know that when I was a kid, I found my Christmas presents once and I thought I was the fucking man and it ruined Christmas. And I was like, wow, this sucks, right? So I might take a breadcrumb trail like, well, I don't know what your purpose is, but you should look here, right? Okay, cool. Give me a breadcrumb trail. I'll follow that. But I don't want all the mystery to be lost in life because that's what I find the most enjoyment in. Now, you know, again, this differs for different people, right? So there's not a right answer to this. But what I found—
No, I'm like, right and you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And now it's black and white, you know? But like, here's the thing, yeah, right? So like, if I choose to tell you, like, if you choose to believe that you are God, right? And you choose to believe what I believe, just knowing that, like you could say like, no, I totally believe I'm God. That's very different than having an experience of you being God, right? Where you realize, oh my God, everything's God. Oh my God, everything's one. Like, you know, again, it's the same thing as like reading about psilocybin mushrooms versus eating psilocybin mushrooms, right? Like there's a difference between knowing like the molecular compounds and, you know, the experience and how to set an intention and set and setting versus eventually, if you really want to know what psilocybin mushrooms are, you got to have the experience. And so that's kind of the whole thing of like where I think a lot of the world is stuck right now. And where I was stuck for many years is that I was expecting my knowings to give me fulfillment, purpose, joy, et cetera, when in reality, that comes from experience. And I think that right now we're over inundated with knowledge and lacking direct experience. And I think that's one of the biggest thirst traps that's currently happening in society.
Yeah, well said. I feel the best when I'm engaging in the experiences that I set myself out to do and feel and share with others too. You know, like I think that's another really big piece to it, like co-creating, like there's so much more feels here sitting here with you talking about this information as opposed to me sitting by myself regurgitating this stuff all the time or in my head thinking about we're all God and everything is connected and how do I let people know this in a clear manner and with understanding how your nervous system works and deep breathing and cold exposure, sauna, regular meditation, you can find the answers. It's like all right, it's so vague and like what answers are you looking for, you know? I just think on the other end of this is nihilism and you know, living with this feel that nothing matters and it's all random, because I feel like ultimately if that is at your very core, everything will suffer because it's such a low level vibration. You know, it's like your creative work is going to suffer. I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's just a my individual thought. I just don't think anything good could come from just like, we're just a bunch of, you know, random molecules together. And there's no real deep meaning behind the fact that you and I are having this conversation about the mysteries and the beautiful, you know, qualities of reality in the universe. Mm.
100%. I mean, I think the nihilism thing, and, you know, some people might disagree with this, but this is my personal thought on it is, you know, I would ask yourself if someone out there is feeling nihilistic, you know, it's like, what part of you is feeling that feeling? Because there's a part of you that knows that everything matters. And at the same time, it reminds me of that quote, nothing you do matters, yet it's very important you do it, right? So a part of you might believe nothing I do matters, but another part of you believes, yet it's very important I do it, right? So again, a lot of like, what I do in my own work with my clients and things is parts work, right? So instead of saying like, oh my God, this part of me that thinks everything sucks and I hate it and I want it to go away, it's like, no, that part of you is there for a specific reason. If you choose to believe, again, like I do, that everything is happening for us, right? Now, again, part of the reason I believe that is because it gives me a really good framework from which to deal with a lot of life's challenges that are a little bit slippery, or like nihilism, you know, like these things that happen that are, you know, in a way a mental disorder, right? It's not your heart or your soul or your spirit, as I see it, believing that, right? It's that you become so oriented up here that you don't know what you don't know. And the caveat is you'll never know anything because nothing is really objective in life, but that's a whole other rabbit hole we don't have to go down. But you know, it's like, because we can get stuck into a conundrum real easily with these kind of conversations.
Well, that was the essence of the conversation between Joe Rogan and Naval Ravikant. It's that it's like this mirror thing. I forget what the term they use that describes these three, let's call them axioms of talking about God. It's just you find yourself looking into a mirror that's infinite all the time.
Yes.
And like, you know, when you asked me earlier, like if somebody could tell you what it's all here for and what the nature of God is, it's like, it's infinity, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really difficult for the human brain to wrap around. It's like the concept and notion of infinity. It's just, so what are you saying? Consciousness is just like this ever forming, self-loving intelligence that's self-organizing and, you know, coherent and incoherent all at the same time for every single possibility that can completely exist in the realms of the universe exists and at the same time doesn't. Like, this takes real you know, just thinking about, like, deep thinking and work around some of these concepts, and I feel like all of us are subconsciously going there, you know, and we don't even know. You know, we think we have comfort in our religion or this and that. And that's, you know, the illusion of comfort, the illusion of safety. You know, like, I got friends. Well, I think of this guy. His name is John Beneducci. He knows he's known as the Manimal. He's a Bellator fighter. And he talks about, nah, dude, safety is an illusion. He's from Brooklyn. And he's like, you think you're safe because you're in your house and this and that. He's like, but when really shit hits the fan, and, you know, let's say fucking earthquake is happening or there's a, you know, some major catastrophe, like you ain't shit, bro. This is all like you think you're safe, but you're not necessarily really safe. So like, you know, I think the things we're talking about, this esoteric type of knowledge, it's hard to like, it's hard to retain for so long. You really have to, you know, read about this type of stuff. I don't know what your thoughts are, but when I first started going through, I'll quote it in air quotes, this awakening, this spiritual awakening, when I realized everything is mental, all is the mind, as above, so below, and seeing all these patterns in reality, like duality, like up and down, black and white, and everything that's in between that spectrum, it's just like, oh, okay. It's very interesting how things are all relatable and connected in this interweb, right? And I also think that there are there's symbolic representations in reality that show these connections, like, you know, the internet's ability to function, and then what we're learning about the fascia and how like the fascia works like the internet. Maybe, and we talked about this last time, maybe the cosmos work like this too. It's like where everything sits on this hive mind that's just constantly interconnected. Mycelium under the ground, it's communicating with itself all over the world. And the way Paul Check describes God, it's just God is, you are God recognizing God through itself, or God recognizing itself through itself, you know? And you can't have one without the other, and God is unconditional love and is that which has no other. So it's like, this is something you have to wrestle with and deeply think about and see patterns in your life as you experience, as we're talking about, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I think there's a lot of good things you said in there, and I'll start with this caveat. It's kind of like the dog chasing its tail, you know, like we will never fully know what God is in this lifetime, because first of all, we're not meant to, like it's way beyond what, like we're down here, as I believe, to have an illusion of separation. Deep down, we know that we're God. We know that everything is God. We know that everything is divine, but we're here to play a game, right? A very important game for soul evolution, so that God can know itself, so that we can know ourselves, right? And I think that at the end of the day, you know, like these types of things are not fully able to be recognized. Like if you look into the tree of life, and you look at, you know, because I'm in a Kabbalah program right now. If you look at the top sphere, Kether, if you read a book called Mystical Kabbalah, they'll talk about how, you know, in that sphere, which is the closest you can get to God, the magical image is of a bearded white man, but you only see half of his face. And that whole like idea there is meant to symbolize like, you can't see all of his face, because if you do, you don't come back, right? Like, it's almost like, you know, again, like, I would imagine, and again, what I'm about to say, I have no evidence for, but I would imagine that like people that have NDEs and things like that, maybe there's an opportunity to be like, do you want to see what you got on Christmas morning? And if you do, you can't come back, right? Because again, now the game has been solved, right? But, you know, again, having faith though, right, is knowing that thing is there, but not needing to know how to explain it, or not needing to have like the full remembering of it, but knowing enough. It's almost like, you know, if you have a really beautiful partner, and you're somewhere overseas, right? Maybe you're in military or something like that. You know, like you might not be able to go see that person, but you have faith they're going to be there when you get back. And that faith can lead you through things because you know they're there for you. Maybe you can talk through letters, right? Similar through prayer, all these things. And again, like whatever you choose to believe, you'll find evidence for. So if you believe that everything in the world is pointless and nothing matters, then guess what? You're going to find exactly evidence for that. If you choose to believe the other, you'll start to find evidence for that. What is that really speaking to? That we are creating our reality as individuals, as part of a larger collective, whether you want to call that God, the quantum realm, source, Allah, Christ, whatever you want to call it. We're all talking about the same thing. But I think that, you know, one of the challenges that you were talking about, those existential truths. And this is where people get in trouble with psychedelics, like exactly what you were talking about. That is, so I have a gentleman in the ceremony circle, his name is Mike, and he recently got into cannabis and he went through this exact thing you talked about. So basically he was sitting at home, his wife is a performer, so she was out like on tour down in Mexico. And so he started like, you know, he was watching this like, you know, thrilling show or like action movie or something. And he was watching in this movie, like some girl gets taken and the guy like goes and rescues her. And in his mind, he goes, I could totally like, you know, do that. I could keep my wife safe. Right. Like, and all of a sudden this voice said, how do you know? Like, how do you know you're walking on the street and someone doesn't just shoot them? Right. And in that moment, he realized, holy shit, that all fell away from that complete barrage fell away. And he realized, the real truth, which is that you can't control anything. Now, at the end of the day, you can liberate yourself from that, from realizing that if you choose to believe anyway that you're infinite and that you were never born and you never die, your true self, right? Then yes, the physical body would die, but maybe that's meant to happen too, right? Maybe everything's happening for us. Maybe everything happens in divine time. You know, I remember I talked to this guy one time who, extremely advanced spiritual gentleman that I had a relationship with at one point, and I still do actually. I mean, he's an amazing body worker and helps me out a lot, but he was saying that he's died and come back to life 3 times. He's had a wild, wild life. And so he was talking about one time he drowned. So him and his friend were jumping off this like waterfall. They were probably like, I don't know, 20. And when he jumped in, he hit a rock. He hit his head on a rock and he passed out and he got stuck under this rock that was under the water. And so his friend comes up, starts looking for him, can't find him, right? As soon as this starts happening, after a couple of seconds, he has this out of body experience and looking at his friend, trying to look for him, right? And then he sees his friend get out of the water and be like, oh my God, I gotta go find a ranger. And he starts running down the road, this dirt road in the middle of the woods. And he said, oh my God, he's never gonna find me, right? Like, I'm gonna be dead by then. And then he heard his friend go, oh my God, I'm never gonna find him if I keep looking for this ranger. He's gonna be dead by then. And then he was like, holy shit, he can hear me, but he doesn't really know it's me. So he goes, dude, I'm under that rock. And he goes, oh my God, I think he's under the rock. And so he watched, right? Like this guy, his friend, save his life, pull him out. And as soon as he pulls him out, an ambulance drives down the road, middle of the fucking woods, right? Saves his life, right? So, but in that experience, he was saying that like there was a moment before he started actually like seeing himself from above where he was like, oh my God, am I dead? Am I dead? And this voice said, what, you don't remember? And he goes, remember what? And then in that moment, he had that realization. And in that moment, it started expanding and he went, oh my God. And then he went, holy crap, I think I'm dying. And then like, as soon as he said that, basically he started to have that outer body perspective. And so it was like, again, like these things are so hard to put into words because they're so above words. And that's why faith is necessary. I really feel like faith is necessary because we're never going to be able to describe God or any of this stuff in words. Yet we've been trained that we should be able to explain quantitatively what all of these things are. And if it's not proven by a double blind placebo controlled study, then it's complete bullshit, right? But in reality, like that is just not the way of the world. You know, it's a great masculine approach to the world, but it needs to be balanced with that feminine approach of spirituality, trust, faith, all of these things as well.
Yeah, I agree. Again, you're representing that dual nature to things.
You know? Yeah.
And I feel like it's definitely important to ponder some of these deeper questions because I think at the end of the day, no matter which way you get there, it brings you a sense of peace and calmness and wholeness, you know? And yeah. I think those qualities are also important for long-term health and longevity. And then, you know, when you have those feelings of purposeness and wholeness, you can find purpose, right? You can find how you contribute to the collective. And like, I think this is really important because we haven't talked about integration at all. Mm. And I talked to a psychedelic assisted psychotherapist last week.
No.
Because I asked him, I'm like, how important is integration? And he goes, well, just all like, he's like, all serious. He's like, a couple of circles that I worked in used to say integration is king. So it's king.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts about integration?
Well,
and like, how, like we're still like third dimensional beings. We still have to, we're here, right? We still have to orchestrate in real time in this third dimension. So how do we take those pieces of information, those cathartic moments from our, you know, our ceremonial, intentional, ritualistic type of things that we do to seek insight and all that? Like how important is integration?
You know, one of my favorite sayings is, and this is going to be a negation, but integration is not optional, right? Now, what I like to add to that, especially within the plant medicine space, and then we'll kind of bring it to like a whole perspective of life. But, you know, I tell people, if you're looking to interact with psychedelics as a medicine or a teacher, right, or an ally or any of these things, integration is not optional. If you want to go play around with substances, sure, do whatever you want. But for me, and again, I've done that before, again, no judgment, but I just know discerning wise what I'm connecting with these medicines for now in my life. And so if you want to actually see your life improve, you must integrate, right? And this doesn't just exist with plant medicines. Like say, for instance, if you want to get really jacked, right, then you have to track macros. You have to then eat the food that you have on your calendar, right? Which is integration. And then you have to track how you felt after. Did you feel good with grains? Do you want to go paleo? Did that set, like, or did that workout routine or that program you're in, did it work? You know, did you need to fine tune it a little bit? Like, this is actually how you become better, you know? And by better, I don't mean objectively like a good or bad, because duality is just a construct made in the mind. But at the same time, what I would say is that if we come into this world with karma, and our dharma is how we live out that karma, then in a lot of ways, integration is actually how we release ourselves from that karma, or it's the path to release ourselves. Because if we're not learning from our experiences, then how do we actually move forward in life, right? So integration is literally the process of taking an experience and learning from it and actually making the next experience be informed with the information you received on the last experience. So it's crucial. I mean, like, again, it depends on what your priorities are and what your values are. But I think for me, for you, I think for a lot of people listening to this podcast, I think I would say it's mandatory, because I think for everyone listening to your show, I can imagine they're not just like going through life and, you know, taking mushrooms and just like, whatever, you know, like, and again, like, no judgment, I'll say it for a third time, but it's just like, if you really want to see your life improve, you must integrate. Now, here's the caveat I'll throw on there. Integration does not have to be boring. It's not homework, right? Like, you don't have to make it boring. A lot of people are like, you got to journal after. I'm like, what if I don't like journal? You just got to journal. I'm like, fuck that. I'm not going to do it. You got to follow the fun, because I really believe that life is all about having fun. It doesn't mean that fun comes without challenges, right? Like, just like a kid will be running around having the best time of his or her life, they stub their toe, they allow themselves to feel the anger or the sadness, whatever that happens, and then they go right back to joy, right? So again, the point of their life is joy and fun. The point of our lives is joy and fun. It doesn't come without challenge, right? But again, integration and these types of things are how we actually allow ourselves to be able to access that fun. And at the end of the day, like I said, it doesn't have to be homework. So for me, integration a lot of the times looks like playing guitar. It looks like walking in the woods. It looks like, for me, not trying to figure out the answer to everything, because that is one of my patterns. I need to understand and break things down to their minuscule parts to be able to understand them, right? And that's not bad, but I started noticing that, like, a lot of times, like, the reason I love cannabis so much is because I can take questions that I think I know the answer for, like, what is my purpose? And instead of being like, what is my purpose? Oh, this is the answer. I can just go, what is my purpose? And then just sit there and not really need an answer. Maybe one comes, maybe one doesn't, right? And I think, like, that amount of surrender in the process of integration really helps, again, the clouds to part so the sun can come through and you might actually get your real answer.
Yeah, dude, that's it takes practice to get there, for sure. 100%. Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to just, you know, dive deep in thoughts like that and so eloquently put that information out. I think you're a stud.
Oh, thanks, bro. Game recognized game. If you spot it, you got it, dude. So stud recognized stud.
Appreciate that. You know, we're all giant works in progress.
Yes.
And yeah, dude, I want to thank you for giving me that spark. And, you know, I think we need people like you today more than ever. We need good representation of what, you know, a male is and what it means to be masculine. And I think you're doing all those things. Let's see how much time we got here. We got 3 minutes. So,
dude, we can rock another question, dude. Let's go.
All right. So let's break away a little bit from the God and purpose and consciousness talk here. You're a podcaster.
Yeah.
You do a lot. You've done a lot of episodes. why do you love podcasting so much? And what are some of your favorite podcasts that you like right now that are in your top five?
Great question, man. So, you know, I actually made a reel about this the other day. Podcasting was my start to everything that I'm doing now. And it was something that was burning out of me. Like, for me, you know, like, my, like, I don't know if you want to call it core values or whatever it is, like, my reason for living is to connect with other people. Like, I love that. I think humans were very, like, you know, we're connection meaning machines, right? Like, you know, we crave connection in our lives. And so for me, especially as a business owner, like, I love networking. They often say it's who you know when that you get ahead in life. And that is so fucking true. I mean, like, think about this, right? Think about if you could start a platform where, like, say if you try to reach out to Paul Check and you're like, hey, Paul, you don't know me, but, like, would you like to hop on for an hour conversation? He's like, dude, I got stuff to do, right? But then you hit him up and you're like, hey, Paul, would you like to come on a podcast and talk to me about your journey? He might say yes, right? And so it gives you an opportunity to now have this reason to talk to all these people that you might not be able to talk to. And now you're able to break the ice. And now someone like a Paul Check's like, man, I like you. Like, come by my house sometime. Let's hang out, right?
Yes.
So it's a way for you to get into these people's worlds, these people you value, and also just, like, random people too. Like, you know, again, we met through podcasting. Well, I mean, we met before that, but again, like, we got to connect heavy on a podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, all of these things. I mean, you know, podcasting with people like Aubrey Marcus, like I could have never dreamed of this stuff, right? Like if I didn't just start doing, again, like the reason I love podcasting more than anything, I'll answer it for you in this way, is because it was me following my fun. For me, it was my fun. Mm-hmm. That's why I love it so much. Like for me, it's what I live for. And for someone else, it might be different. But for me, that's why I love podcasting the most.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. I think we have a lot of very like interesting similarities, and I feel the same thing. And I've said that before. Like it opens up so many doors, the networking thing. I probably wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't start a podcast when I was a high school teacher. Like yeah. it forced me to think about like, what the fuck am I really doing here? I seem to be spending an awful lot of time on this podcast. Like, do I really just want to have this job? Is this necessary? Can I do it in another way, you know? And yeah. We share that same thing. And going back to the Aubrey Marcus thing, like, of course you dreamt it, dude. You intended to put that out there. And I saw it written on your board at your old place. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there's something to that. Like we talked about earlier, the writing on and seeing it on the board and making it like contextual and in the third dimension, and how it's like it's in your face all the time. So, you know, at some point, consciousness has no point but to pull there where you put your attention on, like, that's where energy flows. What's the saying?
Where attention goes, energy flows. Yeah. One of my favorite sayings, dude. Such a good rhyme.
100%. And, you know, it's interesting being like spiritual and shit gets such a bad rap, but you know, like you're diving deep into it. You want to know everything about it. And, there's so many things that make you go, And I feel like at the end of the day, there's so many similarities between walking a spiritual path and so much of the stories that we've heard over millennia about people looking for God, finding God and finding heaven on earth, or understanding some of these notions to the degree that we can understand, right? And conceptualize, because a lot of it, like I said, can get rhetorical and trite, and like we get on this loop and it's hard to keep going, you know? But then again, it takes a certain mental fitness to keep going. So it's been an hour. Since the last time we talked, I had a baby. So,
dude, congrats, man.
Thank you. Life has changed. It's one of the most amazing things about humanity and consciousness, and seeing like a version of your consciousness taking a physical form.
Yeah, growing. Dude.
It's one of the most wonderful things. And when you cross that path in your life, dude, you're going to be an amazing father.
Oh, thanks,
and you're just going to love every second of it. I know it already, just because we're super similar. And so thanks for what you do. Thanks for being a really good example. And you lit my fire, and I'm sure you're lighting the fire of so many other people out there. And like I said many times, we need more people like you in the world now more than ever. So Ryan Sprague, thank you so much for what you do. Share with everybody where they can find your Connect with Cannabis program and your Instagram, mm-hmm. and connect with you directly.
Beautiful, man. Thank you again, Danny. It's been amazing. And yeah, for everyone listening, like, just remember that, you know, even if you don't agree with things I said, like, I don't mind. You know, at the end of the day, like, my medicine is not going to be right for everyone, but the idea here is to stay curious, right? Like, whatever it is for you, if it's mathematics, get curious and go into that. If it's spirituality, get curious and go into it. Whatever it is, follow the fun and you'll always end up where you're meant to be, period.
I love how you say hi, dear.
Yes.
That Boston shit. How do you say current?
Current, you know, like current. I don't have I don't have the biggest Boston accent. Some of my friends do, and it's hysterical. My buddy Eddie Madden has like the most picturesque, like curl up on a couch and just experience Boston type accent. Yeah. It's hilarious, you know?
I have a woman in my small groups. She has a Bostonian accent, and I talk to her about you all the time.
Oh,
and
she says, funny.
She says pizza. Her name's Melissa. And, you know, the idea.
Yeah, idea.
everything that ends in a you pronounce with an ER, and everything that ends in an ER, you end with an A.
Yes.
So
it's backwards, dude. You know, backwards man.
Backwards man to back. That's
I can walk back as fast as you can.
That's Freddie got fingered, bro. Right?
Yeah, I know.
Hell yeah.
I don't see two LeBarons, you know. Yeah, I was just talking about the day with my trainer, dude. That's like the weirdest synchronicity, dude. Like, what are the chances that Freddie get fingered gets brought up twice in my life in the same day? This is why I'm telling you guys that I think the universe is just one big fucking eternal child playing a really funny game of warmer, colder with us.
The cosmic giggle.
Dude, it is the cosmic giggle, 100%, dude. Like, I think people take it so seriously. And one thing I've learned is to stop taking myself so seriously, because as someone who had a serious addiction, you know, I've realized, like, life can be a lot more funny than that, you know, if you look at the evidence.
Totally. Yeah, Freddy Got Fingered, great movie. I watched Road Trip not that long ago. And then he's thinking, tiny salmon living in
the sea. Dude, Road Trip. Oh, dude, such an iconic movie, dude. Now you're gonna make me watch that. That got brought up recently in my life too,
bro. You can't make a movie like that anymore.
I know. Like, it was a special time in history.
Think about American Pie. You know, like they filmed the girl changing in the bedroom. Like, the next scene, if that was made in 2022, would be like police at the school.
I know, dude. Getting
expelled. Everyone's talking shit. But here, you know, it's just, he goes to school in 1999. Everyone's just laughing that he came twice in front of that beautiful girl. Oh, my God. It's just like, we're living in a different realm right now. But yeah, the fun, the funniness to this, to things, the irony to life. It's just, yeah, you're a cool dude, man. I'm glad that we have all this in common. I definitely want to connect again. Maybe come out to Boston. Dude, are you going to do a podcast tour in Chicago anytime soon?
I'm doing one in California in about first week of March with a couple people. And then I'm going to Arizona after that. As of yet, I got to find some podcasts in Chicago. Help me find some podcasts. I would love to do a in-person one with you when I'm there. So I got one down already, but find me anything. I'd love to come to Chicago.
Yeah, you got Angelo Cisco.
Yep. Exactly.
Do another one with him. Now. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'll brainstorm and I'll connect you with as many people as possible in Chicago that are fucking big.
Hell yeah.
All right, dude. Have a good rest of the night. Good luck with the rest of the move. Start feeling, you know, as home as possible. Build that foundation strong. You're doing some great work. Love talking to you. And we'll talk soon. All right, buddy.